This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is an emergency meeting of the Johnson County Commissioners to ratify a disaster declaration. Before you, Commissioners, is Resolution 735, Resolution for Disaster Declaration. Whereas the County of Johnson has suffered devastating effects from rangeland fires causing a massive evacuation of people, wildlife, and livestock. And whereas residents, businesses, wildlife, and agriculture are being affected by those fires, as over 160,000 acres have burned thus far, causing substantial harm to rangeland, crops, outbuildings, utilities, critical infrastructure, water, stock watering systems, personal property, homes, fences, wildlife, including sage grouse habitat, and livestock. Losses incurred will result in, but not limited to, the farming and ranching community not having the grazing or hay supplies or the necessary systems or infrastructure to carry their livestock through the winter, nor being able to contain livestock as approximately 500 miles of fence have been destroyed, and in some cases will culminate in long-term displacement. Additionally, substantial habitat for wildlife has been destroyed. And whereas the cost of the fighting fires, cleanup, and support of those affected will far surpass Johnson County's resources available, therefore be it resolved by the Board of Johnson County Commissioners declares Johnson County to be a disaster area. And this was actually dated yesterday, the 22nd of August, 2024. So, Commissioners, I hope you will approve this disaster declaration retroactively to... We had to get this submitted as quickly as possible to get state and federal resources available. In consultation with the county attorney, that was the best course of action. So I would ask that you approve Resolution 735. Retroactively.
I move to approve Resolution 735 retroactively.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Before I turn this over to the public information officer for this fire, I would like to personally thank Kate Barlow with Governor Gordon, as well as Trinity Lewis with Congresswoman Hegeman. We had our approval of our flag grant, which is FEMA assistance, by 10:30 yesterday morning. When the wheels of government want to work, we are capable to help people. I also want to specifically thank our sheriff, as well as the Buffalo Police Department, for their swift action to get alerts out and get people evacuated. Thus far, we have no loss of life, which is the most important thing. I want to thank our emergency management coordinator, who hasn't been here that long and is learning a heck of a lot, unfortunately, on-the-job training. So this is why the emergency management coordinator makes those plans and does those tabletop exercises. So, Jimmy, thank you. To the Fair Board, who has opened their facility. We have several families that are actually staying at the fairgrounds with their livestock. And Johnson County, JOCO First, for providing their facility for an emergency shelter, as well as the community members and the contractors who have gone out, risked their own life, their own equipment, to protect people, property, and livestock. I also want to say that starting next week, I will convene an interagency working group consisting of the NRCS, the Game and Fish, Weed and Pest, our conservation districts, and our other state and federal partners to begin to make repairs. We have a lot of livestock that is on the mountain right now, and it's going to need to come down this fall. We have very few fences left. We've also lost most of the water infrastructure. Those things have to be put in place as soon as possible so that people can make adjustments to their operations, as well as those water infrastructure is so critical for wildlife. And I cannot emphasize enough The area that is burned is core habitat for sage grouse as well as mule deer. The impacts on our wildlife has been devastating. So with that, I'd like to welcome Marilyn Conley, the public information officer for Fire District Number 1, who is presently in charge of this fire, and maybe she'll also provide an update of the change in command that's going to happen over the weekend.
So this is the first time we've gotten the map, so I brought some copies of that. It's a rough map. So our fire boundaries look like this right now. It's estimated right now that the fire is covered, I'm not saying exactly until they do that IR flyover later today, then they'll have really accurate information on acres burned. But this is, well, 160 plus acres so far. So what's happening right now is they have about 190 people on the fire. They're calling it zero containment. They're going to do a flyover later today, which, like I said, will give us a really more accurate picture of the fire. You just did the FEMA agreement, and they're working on that and the cost share agreement. Saturday night, they expect a complex team to come in. So far, they've handled this fire with their Type 3 locals mostly and some additional assets, but it's been run as a Type 3 fire. So with this complex team coming in, they're looking at, because there's several fires, four that are active, and they're all kind of running together. So they're talking about bringing this bigger team in to help manage all of those. But the Remington fire that's over by Gillette in Campbell County, Sheridan, grew substantially. So they're talking about splitting that one off and doing their own management of that fire. So they're not sure yet how that's going to work. But when that team comes in, they'll be in Saturday night and take over Sunday morning. That's going to bring an additional at least 90 people. And then with their ancillary support that they bring with them, that'll probably increase that to another 150 folks. There'll be a there's a what's called NCWEB that's been set up to with house draw fires specifically on the NCWEB, so you can Google that. And then there's a Facebook page set up specific to the fire. So that really is about, with the map, that's about all I have to report today. There's going to be a new PIO come in that's a little higher level than I am, and he'll be taking over about, 10 o'clock this morning. We're going to have a media brief out there at 11 for the local media. And I'll be taking questions that I might can answer.
What's the Facebook page?
Let me see here. You know how I am with Facebook and stuff.
I'm trying to House Creek Fire.
Okay. House Creek, that doesn't work. So it's www.facebook.com/H for house, D for draw, and then WY. That's where a lot of the official information will be posted by the new PIO. The NCWEB is ncweb.wildfire.gov/incident-information, and we'll put this on Facebook. That's something Jimmy can post on his, and I'll just shoot this to you. And it's incident-information/WYHPD-house-draw-fire, but we'll get it out on the press release or out to the media, and Jimmy will have it for his Facebook page. There's been some confusion. The information for the public and things hasn't been very smooth flowing. There is somewhat of a delay in getting some of this information gathered up because they were on their initial attack, and when you got something like this going, public information isn't the first thing they necessarily think about, even though it's extremely important. Jimmy's doing a good job posting things on Facebook. And then when they did get a PIO, they wanted the information coming directly approved and vetted by the incident command on the fire, which meant then that information had to be vetted and everything before Jimmy could put it on his Facebook page. So there was a little confusion about that. And like I said, the information going out for public consumption was been somewhat cumbersome. But they're getting today, they'll have better setup and better information, and hopefully that will improve. I think that's about zero. Did I say zero containment? Yeah, they're still not confident with that. The fire on the south end down here kind of got away from them last night, and they had what they call a slop over of about 1,000 acres. So they're going in today and still trying to clean that up. They were keeping a really close eye on the Recolusa place down there. There's no numbers of people are asking, well, how many people were evacuated? That is, there's no number. And there's confusion out there between what was a pre-evacuation notification or to just let people know, look, you can see the fire, it's right there. I mean, it was crazy out there, wasn't it? And law enforcement was out there working through the night to notify people that, hey, the fire's here, it's serious, you need to consider leaving and getting your livestock out. And I don't know what the exact words that were used, but there is some confusion about the public wants to know, media wants to know, how many people were evacuated? How much livestock was evacuated? Where's the livestock being staged? Is the evacuation notice still in effect? Those kind of questions have been huge for people, and it's been really hard to answer those because there really isn't a number, Sheriff.
So a couple things. It was a pre-evacuation. It wasn't an evacuation. So what you said is true. Like we went Cook Road, Deer Trail, right? Tipperary, Upper Powder River. And how that looked officially, the Buffalo PD stepped up. We hopscotched up Tipperary, up Powder River, up patrol vehicles just going to every resident. And everybody was aware. I mean, there was smoke, so everybody's seen that. But it was just be aware. Everybody was already preparing for that, moving livestock, horses, getting their belongings in case they had to leave. So that went really fast between the PD and the SO. And then the initial, when the interstate was closing and we were trying to get it closed, PD, along with deputies, we called in extra guys to control the traffic on the interstate because it was a mess.
Couldn't see.
Yeah, couldn't see. It wasn't closed yet. And anyway, kudos to the PD. They helped us out a bunch. Second thing, I've been getting a lot of calls. We need that. We need that information. Sean needs that information because dispatch is just getting blown up with, can we go back? Well, nobody was told to leave, so they... Anyway, we'll have that out today.
Okay.
Jimmy's going to be our source. Like, it's going to go out through Jimmy. He's going to tell us what, like, put it out there where everybody can go back, be aware that it's still an active fire, local travel only for a lot of these roads or whatever. I mean, it's not officially, like, we can't. But the ranchers need to go in and out. And do their thing. So nothing is closed. Everything is open. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pat or Sean.
All the highways and everything.
Yeah, so we're going to push that out there today.
Okay.
The second thing, I've been getting a lot of calls from Sheridan County. And Claremont is worried about the House Creek fire reaching Claremont, which I looked and it was 13 miles as the crow flies from the north west corner of the house fire to Claremont. So I've told them that, and I personally checked, Sean and Pat have been up Tipperary, the northwest corner of that fire. Like, we got to push some, we have to push some information out about that. That's more than likely, barring some sort of weird circumstances, no way that reaches Claremont.
Okay.
And that was one of the concerns we had. Sean can probably address the dispatch stuff. Again, thanks for the PD, and it's imperative that we get our information from Jimmy. The feds, they can do what they do, but they got to share that information to us, and that's going to come through Jimmy. So we have to, the more information we have, the better. The worst thing that we can do is have somebody call in and we say we don't know, because it doesn't make us look good and we don't know. So we need to find that stuff out. And I know how the information thing lapses and it takes some time to get that done. But the first call would be to Jimmy, and then Jimmy lets us know and he blows it up on the Facebook page for us. But we got to have that information. Just this morning, I know dispatchers get calls again about that. So
about the locals going in.
Yeah, if they can get back. The undersheriff got a call about a rancher wanting to go get some cattle on the interstate. Those things, and though they've been told, and I think a lot of that information's out there, we just need a solid.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need.
I agree. And they put on what they're calling a resource agent for the fire now, and they're going to be out driving those roads and talking to the folks and reporting back, because what I can see is just a lot of that information is so scattered. They're just out there and they didn't have like really good point of contact. That's changing today.
Yeah, Jimmy's our point of contact.
No, I mean out in the field, with directly with the landowners and all of that. So that's going to improve.
I don't think I got anything else.
Okay. And we did put out yesterday to all the media that the county roads were open to local traffic only. So all the media had that information. And Jimmy had it too.
Okay.
And he put it out on his Facebook page, all that. It was kind of late in the day coming through, but it got put on Jimmy's Facebook page.
Yeah, and to be clear, I understand. Everybody is tired and everybody's working. But dispatch, they need to know that information because they're the people at the top.
And so I visited with the IC about keeping dispatch in the loop, and I think Erica did too. So hopefully that's going to improve as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Because there was a disconnect there for sure.
Okay.
I think some of the one thing that is certainly going on is we're taking a lot of calls from ranchers that are wanting to go in and move cattle around. Some of that might be going on in an active fire area where they're trying to suppress or during doing burnouts. They've attempted to contact the IC and they can't get a hold of IC, okay. So they're overrunning dispatch with phone calls and saying, I need to get a hold of the IC. They go to the next level, they get a hold of us. We try to get a hold of somebody in fire command, and ultimately we're like, well, you got to go move your cattle.
Yeah.
You got to do something.
That's very frustrating.
So we're missing a communication piece there. That information, if there's some liaison that those ranchers can get a hold of, that'd be great.
I think that's going
to
happen
today. Needs to get out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be clear, Colby Richards, every time, he's been a rock star. So every time his phone rings from us, he's answering and giving us information.
Right. So our local fire district, they're not the ICs on this fire.
Correct.
Yeah.
But when they answer every question.
So they've been really good. But, so that's been kind of different.
Can I say something, Harold?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, like Brad said, you know, it was a group effort with everybody. Everybody jumped in. We had officers helping out in the county. Also, I called in. I had 5 dispatchers in working. We have 3 stations, but that's how busy it was. I had 1 dispatcher just taking notes so we could fill the gaps and then just answering phones. But it was to see everybody work together really was as bad as it was, and as sometimes points when the highway got pretty western out there. But to watch us work together was amazing. I think the code red that was sent out was paramount. I know I've heard some rumblings that maybe a code red shouldn't have been sent, but that got a lot of people when we were driving on Tipperary. They already had their sprinklers on, their horses were loaded, they already knew it was coming, right? I think that was huge, and I think Code Red was used when it should have been used. Mm-hmm. It was a ready Code Red saying, hey, this is an evacuation, however, be prepared, it's coming, and that fire was moving so fast that if we didn't have that Code Red out there, it could have been a different story. So kudos to Jimmy getting that Code Red out there and
that's not easy. I mean, when you're in a gun like that, and Jimmy's doing a great job. How do you do a code red when they say Air Gary Road such and such and such and such, and so you just do the best you can, and you might have a way bigger area than you needed, and somebody might have got a call that they didn't need to have.
Yeah, we received those calls, but it's better to be safe than sorry.
That was good, and he was under the gun
able to communicate with Erica. They were looking at maps. They were looking. You know, Erica said, "Hey, let me have recordings that you have. We have it. You know, we get that into dispatch into our CAD system, and that makes it easier for us." But I guess any information to make a little easier, because what I don't know if everybody heard, while this whole thing was going on, we had a rescue on the mountain where a young lady fell from a horse and we had to get life flight guided into Circle Park. So that was going on while this thing was blowing up. So it wasn't just the fire
life,
that's coming
life
in.
Life during the fire,
right? There's
right?
other things happening. But I, from my perspective, everybody did a wonderful job, and I was proud to be a part of it. So.
Good, thank you. While I'm thinking about it, Commissioner, and this is for Jimmy too, is that when you sign that agreement and you're going to establish that task force recovery and emergency management is really important in the recovery phase. There's actually more to do in the recovery phase than there is in the actual incident, especially with FEMA being involved. So you're going to probably get pretty busy. I would hope you're at those task force meetings, because that's going to be a big communication piece there for you. And that's about all I
left out one thing. So part of this, we talk about the evacuations on Tipperary and Powder River. Deputies Campbell and Richardson went south and did like Sussex Road and all that, and they did that at 10 o'clock at night or whatever, like they hung down and got that all taken care of, so they need to be put in the loop. And that was through a communication with Colby Richens. He advised that would be a good idea, and so mm-hmm. that red flag went up as well, right?
COVID.
And then through communication with Colby, he advised send those guys south. They were actually up here helping because we were, yeah. though we had a, I don't know how many people we had, 12, whatever, I don't know. But we were shorthanded, so we pulled from KC to have those guys help with the traffic up there. And then they went south and did Sussex Road and all that country down there, knocking on doors. But, anyway, I thought they needed some sort of sage.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Any questions for the public or press for the public information officer as well as our partners in law enforcement? I also need to thank Johnson County Road and Bridge, who has made resources available as they have been requested to help with this, and also our county attorney's office. I was on the phone with them at 11 o'clock at night after this fire started as we mapped out our plan to get all of these declarations in place. So between Tucker, Josh Stensis, and also Ryan Bird over there, hats off to them. We were working through the night and then early yesterday morning to get all of this done. One other thing. At this point, we would ask the community that the fire district does not need donations of food, water, or anything else at this time. So we have a wonderfully generous community. We will also be looking at, through the Wyoming Community Foundation, setting up either a fund or a way for people who would like to help those impacted. At this point, there are no authorized funds or donations. So if you are hearing of anything, it has the potential for fraud. So you will hear from local government once an approved fund has been established. But our plan is to work through the Wyoming Community Foundation so that can be a tax deductible donation, and also making sure that the resources to get to the families that literally have been impacted. I don't think there's any other information to brief anyone at this time. Commissioner Shelley or Perry, do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I don't. Just people contacted me and said that the road and bridge, they thought they should have been on the fire, and I explained to them that road and bridge has to be asked by the people in charge of the fire before they'll send resources to it. They don't just volunteer the resources. They have to be asked for them.
It's all part of the incident command structure, and it's really hard if you're not involved in it a lot to really understand the workings of how it works in the hierarchy. And that's part of the communication thing, is everything has to be vetted and approved through the incident command. So you got to find him, he's got to sit down, you got to gather all the information. Has to go through several places before you get it gathered, and then go to the incident commander to get it approved before you can send it out. Because there's so much false information that ends up out there. They want someplace official where people can know that information has all been approved by the fire people. I did forget to add, I'm glad Commissioner Novotny brought that up about the donations. There are things on Facebook where people are trying to raise money. They're looking at gathering food and bringing it to the fire hall and things like that. The rules are on these fires that in the past they've had firefighters get sick. So they don't want people to bring things that are homemade, even though we all know homemade cookies are the best. But so they're asking, don't do that. And when this team gets in here, they bring their kitchen, they bring everything. So Water is usually, if they're going to donate something, water's good, Gatorade's good, but there's also a storage problem. So if you get too much delivered, you don't know where to put it.
We'll take that overflow.
So and there's already going to be some overflow because Walmart, I think, sent a truck with water. So, but people are just meaning well. And I think there's a group out there. Yesterday I heard they're trying to get a load of hay headed this way. And I got to say, that coordination could be better. Because we don't know how many people are at the fairgrounds, but I understand that the fairgrounds is okay for people to bring hay there. That's like with a big question mark right now, but there are people out there working all this from Sheridan, Campbell, over the mountain, bringing things in, so that all needs to be coordinated, and there needs to be a group, volunteer coordinator or something set up. But that's fire is fire, and I don't know if that could be a separate thing that we need to for sure need to look at going forward.
So one other question, right on her maybe suggestion is, Sheridan County be involved somehow with whether it's at 11 o'clock or be briefed, because I know that Levi Dominguez is a sheriff and he's getting some questions as well. So whether it's through their emergency management person there or Levi himself, he needs to be notified, because I got a call from him this morning about the Claremont thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some questions about that, and when people don't know information, mm-hmm. they worry the most. So if we can push that out to those guys.
All right,
as well.
Because usually on a fire this size, they not only have a PIO, they have a liaison officer. Right now, and that liaison officer works close with emergency management, and that's the section that would be getting with the folks like that, coordinate and communicating with them what you need, what you see, and blah blah blah. And that liaison officer then takes that back to the IC. I'm hoping that when this team comes in, they'll have one with them.
Yeah, well, it's
because right.
The team is outstanding, great, but it's the locals that want the information.
Mm-hmm.
If they're holding that stuff back, if we're not getting it, it doesn't.
Yeah, and I don't know that they're holding it back. I just don't know that they have their arms wrapped around the whole thing.
Well,
yeah,
we need their arms wrapped around it, because it needs to go pretty fast.
Okay.
If I could speak to the team. So that I spoke to the head liaison officer yesterday from the team that's coming in. They want to set up shop here because they're not only dealing with our county's fires, they're also dealing with Campbell and Sheridan.
Where's here?
They wanted to hold a meeting with all of our stakeholders tomorrow. They haven't given me a time yet, but they've asked me to gather contact information for key players to set up for this meeting and transition.
Like at your office? Is that what you're
That's doing? We're tentatively planning on doing it at the planning office because we've got enough seating there. But they also want to bring in emergency management from both other counties and then their key players too. So we can all be on the same page, because they're not just going to manage the house drop fire, they're going to manage all the fires in all three counties. It's a complex incident management team that the state is sending us.
Yeah.
So they haven't set a time or anything yet. They're obviously traveling here, and my conversation with him was very short, but they're bringing multiple liaison officers, I believe, to work with all three counties to make sure everybody's getting what they need. So
that should help a bunch.
They've also spoken information and basically said that they want to put out as much information to the point where people are getting tired of it. So we should start to get a lot more information coming out with that team and what they want.
Yeah.
And very coordinated.
And they coordinate like this with public information.
Too much information is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. But you don't know what time they're going to be here?
I believe they're supposed to be here tonight. I can call in
tonight?
After the meeting.
they'll probably check in and out at the fire hall.
Right, because they were in Arizona yesterday and while I'm leaving.
Your stakeholder meeting tomorrow, do you have a time?
No, I don't. Time? Not yet. Okay. I will call him and ask him if he has an update yet or an ETA.
Okay. All right. Typically, the emergency med, here's where I think there's a little bit of a disconnect, is these fire teams now, nationally and statewide, have learned that emergency management coordinators are extremely valuable in a fire incident. So they're starting to be way more proactive at involving emergency management early rather than later, because they're such a good resource for them, for the liaison officer to communicate back to the IC. So around here, you know, it's like, well, when we get to emergency management, we'll deal with them. But the trend is these guys are really, really important to the community and to the fire. So I think that just kind of got kind of lost in the translation a little bit, but we've got a good one here and we just need to use them. So that's my report.
I have a question. With the National Weather Service putting Buffalo under a fire watch, are you concerned about it coming to Buffalo?
Not right now. That's the other thing. People are just like Claremont. You know, originally the word was they were evacuating Buffalo. I was up on the mountain. I got that message. And I'm going, what? So anyway, and then Casey thought they might be getting evacuated too. So there again, when something fails in these incidents, it's always, whether it's a training exercise or a full-scale exercise, or the real thing, communication is the number one failure every time.
And 99% of the time, it's dispatch that deals with that, not having the information. So,
yep.
Jimmy, if you would include dispatch or whatever, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
And also, if your office is an issue, it could be held in the training room.
And I might change it depending on how many people I know are going to attend. So we talked about 15 to 20, but I feel like it's going to be a lot larger than that. So
I will say we've had some very large things go on in our county in the last several years, but this might be one of the largest and encompassed a lot of different agencies, and we brought in a lot of dispatchers. But the communication during this thing was as good as we've ever had. I don't feel like that lost a piece between us, Highway Patrol, County Fire, and all the agents responding to a road and bridge.
It seemed like on the radio you guys were like just working.
There's usually a communication failure in a radio service somewhere where we're not hearing each other and we can't communicate, but maybe it's because of where the incident took place, but that wasn't their issue.
Great.
They replaced the antennas recently.
Yeah, there's new radio stuff. That was timely. Okay. Anything else?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
One second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.